circumstances. I'm going to say that again. We ask for God to change or take our circumstances away, and instead he asks us to rise up to face the circumstances and impact them. And so this scripture, Acts 4:29, it's like I feel like I've just been in it for years. And every now and then I'll come back to it where I can catch myself sliding back or trying to get comfortable or trying to play it safe. The Lord just continues to call me to boldness. I think that's a cry across the world today, a cry of boldness. To stand up in spirit and truth. Just continue to stand up in spirit and in truth. So how would your prayers change is instead of you going, God, fix them, God, fix this, God, fix that, if you said, God, make me bolder in this moment. There's something on that. Let's just keep hitting it for a second. I wrote down here, this came to me in the middle of the night, so I know the Lord gave it to me for you today. I got a crown and I'm not afraid to use it. That's what I mean by boldness. Like this bold, radical love of Jesus. You know, like if you hear me say that I'm saying you've got a voice and you need to charge the hill, and you think that I'm saying you would do that in your own strength, you've not heard anything I said. Because what I'm talking about is this radical connection to a living God that's a miracle-making God. That where I go, God is releasing miracles, because where I go, there he is. So where you go, miracles are able to be released. They may not be being released yet, but everything's there. And we're just trying to get you and him lined up in this beautiful way so that miracles may be breakthrough in conversations. Miracles may be you just walk past someone. Do y'all know the scripture about where Peter's shadow fell on someone and they were healed? Like, what happens when your shadow leaves peace, brings peace to someone? That you just walk past someone and they just suddenly felt comforted. Have you ever just gone past someone and you've seen their turmoil and you know you can't do anything about it, but you just look at them and you smile and you just go, I see you today. You have no idea how that changes. That is the kingdom of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it's also the great big signs and wonders also. I'm not dulling it down. I'm just like going, if your faith is enough for a smile, take the smile. If your faith is enough to radically change situations through the power of Jesus, then take that too. So I got a crown and I'm not afraid to use it, because I got that crown from a king who's never going to take it away. Jesus said to the woman at the well that we would soon become to worship in spirit and in truth. And he calls and acts to boldness, to great boldness. And so what I want to talk about now is feminine weapons that rattle hell. There's a reason why you have a voice. And I... hold on. When you get in situations like this and nobody's in the same faith circle, you never really know what anybody knows. So I could spend all day and I can go through every one of these scriptures and I can tell you where they are. And I can read the scripture out for you that you could read for yourself. Or I can tell you the revelation that God has given me about these stories. So what I'm going to choose to do instead is I'm going to trust you to be a good student. In fact, that might be a great question for you to ask the Lord. Am I a good student? Because you know what? Some of y'all have been playing hooky for a long time. And you want to know why you don't know the material. And so the Lord's calling you back to, let's do the basics, babe. You want to grow? Let's do the basics. Can I just tell you this? Just because the Lord just is talking to me about it all the time. If you don't regularly feed on the Word, if you're not regularly worshiping, if you're not regularly fasting, if you're not regularly giving, if you're not regularly pouring out your life for someone else, you're constipated as a Christian. End of story. Do I need to say that again?
Say it again.
In the Word. Right? Worshiping. Not the same thing. Yes? Yes?
Yes.
Worship is me being with Him. The Word is me learning about what's available. Worship is about me accessing what's available. Yes? Fasting is cleaning out my system. Those of you who are so health conscious, how clean's your spirit? Are you fasting to clean out your spirit, to get your radar up? All right? If you're not regularly giving, that you're remembering it, everything comes from the Lord. And then I'm not going to waste my life, literally waste my life, trying to make money, trying to make money, trying to make money. Because I have a God who's going to take care of me. Right? So I give to remind myself that my God takes care of all my needs. Like, these are things that we do in different seasons at different times, but this is our arsenal. This is how we grow. This is how we tend. These are tools for tending your garden. And you know what? I can almost tell when I've slacked off in an area. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you have this garden and these are growing the great and that's not growing. Oh, it's not growing great. So the Lord just brought to my mind. He's not going, you haven't had a regular system of fasting again. So I've just like brought that back to the forefront. I used to have a regular rhythm of fasting because it just like got my pipes cleaned out so I could hear really well. I had to learn how to do that. I don't fast for a little gold star. I fast so I hear the Lord better. And so it can be fasting anything that's currently taking your attention. Do you know what I'm fasting? Facebook. So it's like you fast that thing that you always go to. We could go through a whole list of those things, couldn't we? You fast the thing that you want so much. Listen, you don't fast something that you hate. You fast something that you enjoy because it's that hunger that you're converting to the Lord. Does this make sense what I'm saying? So in that groan and ache, when you're going to the Lord instead, He's showing you something about why you want that thing in the first place. Some of you guys need to fast your addiction. You need to fast your compulsions. You need to fast your anger. You need to fast your, you know, I don't know if you've ever done this. It just kind of popped into my mind. Some of you need to swap prayers. We literally have had, you pray for my obsession, my problem, my issue. I'll pray for yours. So that I'm not sitting here constantly ruminating. So every time I want to pray for my thing, I go, oh, I'm fasting that. Now I'm praying for Crystal's thing. And you just convert. Now I got faith for Crystal's thing, right? But this over here has just now become compulsion. There's a big difference between compulsion and faith. I need to say that again. There's a big difference between compulsion and faith. Rumination is not worship. Rumination is not faith. Amen? Do you know what I'm saying to you now? It's like there is a way of you coming into the truth. And what does the truth do? It sets you free. It brings you something that you did not know before. Truth changes the situation. So here are some things that I just think are phenomenal. There is the story of Martha. And God said to Martha that if you believed in me, that you would see the resurrection. It's the first time that was ever spoken on the planet before. And I believe that God gave Martha that revelation of Himself as resurrection power. And when He did that, He gave that to all womankind. And when I go and I read the Gospels and I see the things that Jesus revealed to women for the first time ever on the planet, I believe it's because He trusts women to carry the deep truths of His heart. Now, did He reveal deep truth to men? Sure He did. But you and I have been swimming in that for 2,000 years. Have you also been swimming in that God has revealed things to women for women to carry? Specific. And we carry these things specific, and we give them to the men, and we give them to the world that we live in. And part of that is resurrection power. Martha believed Jesus when He said, I carry the resurrection. I am the resurrection. I'm it. I'm the power. And it changes things. The Syrophoenician woman, her relentless going back, going back, going back, going back, going back. That persistence, I believe, the men call it nagging. I think Jesus calls it faith. That continuing to come back, it's not right. It's not right. This is not right. I need justice. There's something about a female creature, whether it's a mama bear or, help me, Lord. Have you ever seen a woman on a warpath?
Oh, yes. Have I ever been one?
Have you? I got a crown. I'm not afraid to use it. There's something about that expression on the earth that's holy to the Lord. You saw that in the Syrophoenician woman. So she's like going, I have not received what is mine, and I will receive what is mine. And when you charge against things like that, with that kind of determination, and that, it's almost like a holy belligerence. Now what happens when you do that, and instead of you going, it didn't work, I'm so sad, I don't know what to do, I'm a puddle. That as opposed to, no God, you said you would give me this. You said I had this, and I'm not going to quit until I get it. That kind of fierce determination. And you know what? Some of you, you've been praying for things, and you have not got them. I don't know what to tell you that about that story. I don't know about that story in your life, but here's what I do know. I've learned a couple of things about promises of God. Did I hear him correctly? Did he do that? Did I do everything I was supposed to do? Was there someone else involved that could change the outcome? And is God still going to be good to me before it's all over? Some of you need to quit talking about what God hasn't done, and you need to anchor yourself in the reality is that he is going to be good to me sooner or later. And that is a faith that has to rise up past all the circumstances. If it's not good yet, he's not done. That's why I played that Joy in the Morning song. When that song, like Chuck and I were driving back home, and I'm lamenting and just crying out to the Lord about all these broken places that I have believed the Lord for years. And that song came on about just weeping may endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning. And I'm just like going, Lord, I don't even care about the outcomes. I just need your joy. Yeah, that's a word for some of you. How about you sacrifice the outcomes as an offering to him and go for the joy? So when that Joy in the Morning song came up for me, Chuck looked over and he goes, babe, like what's happening? Because I was just weeping because I had lost focus on the face of Christ. I had lost focus on his joy that he was trying to give me because I was so insistent on the outcome. And I tell you, you're going to get more traction through his joy than you will sitting here arguing with him over an outcome. I can control my joy. I can't control the outcomes. So I find that women can sometimes lose their way through disappointment. So make sure that you come back to a living hope. Also, he said to the woman at the well, that if you had asked me, if you knew who I was, you would have asked me for living water. I think there's something about the way the female form of a woman on the earth and the Holy Spirit is so similar. You see this all through Scripture, where the Holy Spirit and the female form is so, they kind of ebb and flow in this beautiful way. And one of the ways that they do that so well is the way they carry life, the way they produce, the way they hover, not in a bad way, hover mothers, but in a good way. But the way that, let me get my thoughts here, Lord. There is a reason why God is called El Shaddai. That's not a fluke. In a male-dominated, male-centric piece of Scripture, but all of a sudden you have this one-off that God is called El Shaddai, the many-breasted one. There's a reason why God did that. He's elevating his sense of, hey, there's a whole other side of God that you know nothing about. So I would invite you to really do a deep dive about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit carries. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit carries is living water. There's something about the fact that some women are called to give biological children, have biological children. There's something about the fact that that womb is encased in water and fluid, right? There's something beautiful about that. But here is the thing that the Lord said to me about all women. Have a divine call for multiplication. All women have a divine call for multiplication. And if you reduce that to giving birth, you've missed a far bigger picture. Yeah. Because God has given to us a power of, think about how women gather friends, how women gather family, how women are centric to all these connecting points. I just met somebody. I'm friends with her because of her, and we've been friends for 10 years. Women just have this innate ability to build bridges and to connect and just to multiply and make root systems and network. Can you see this? That's an innate female quality, and I think that that beautifully expresses the heart of God, who's always building family. So there's something beautiful about that. Another feminine weapon that we have that I'm just going to trust that you can, the Lord will translate this for you because it's a new thought for me, myself, is God has two scriptures. One was Martha running to Jesus when she was in great distress, but the other was the women running to an empty tomb. As I believe that God has innately put in women the heart to run to Him. They run in faith. They don't run in skepticism. They run in faith. I know the tomb is going to be empty. I know that He's not going to be there. If you do any kind of global research, the biggest churches across the globe are churches that women are at the forefront. Because these are people, women have almost across the board been marginalized, they've been set aside, they've been outcast, they've been pushed down, they've been abused, they've been wounded, even inside of marriage and their family structures. And so Jesus becomes this true and only person who sees them and knows them and loves them for who they are. And so what they do by constantly running toward the love of God, they run to Him, and you see all three scriptures. When the woman came in to anoint Jesus' feet, when the woman came and actually anointed Him with oil, these are women who ran to Him out of pure devotion. They didn't want anything from Him. They just wanted to be with Him. They just wanted to love on Him. They just wanted to bless Him. I think that that's a superpower that we have. So why am I telling you that? Because I want to fan your devotion. I want to make you so hungry to be lovesick that you're never settled. Oh gosh, I just censored the Lord. I want to make you so lovesick for Jesus that you'll never settle for a man again. So many of us are shipwrecking our faith over a man, married or not. And I love him. I got one. He's great now. Not so good before. Great now. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? He'll tell you I wasn't so great either.
Would you repeat that phrase, please? So lovesick for Jesus.
That you'll never settle for a man again. Why do I say that? Because I think you got idols. And I think the man in your house or desire for a man in your house is your idol. And I think you're living out of this kind of faulty sense of Him first, and I'm going, no, it's Jesus first. Jesus plus nothing. And He adds all these other things. You're going, yeah, it's easy for you to say, you know, you don't know, my wife is at home, you don't know this. I know what women have been facing since the beginning of time. And I know that Jesus has been Jesus to them since the beginning of time. And He's been the defender and the elevator, and He's been the one that's been rescuing women out of all the men's shit for decades and millennia. There's not anything happening to us right now that hasn't been happening since the beginning of time. Do you understand? And He has been the Savior of the world from the beginning, and it's still doing that today. So here's my call to you, sisters. What is our response? Here's a God that's constantly running after you, and He's wanting to know, are you done yet? Are you done running after everyone else? Can I have my turn? Not with judgment, but like this love, saying, I love you so much. I could radically change your life. So many of us want our life radically changed, but we won't go to the one person who can actually do it. Does this make sense what I'm saying? What do I mean by this? I just am seeing in a culture where we have so much help. We have so much self-help. We have so little passion for Jesus. So little devotion to Him that no matter what happens, I'm not going anywhere because there's no place better than you. So I just want to stir your appetite. What do you need today? Have you gone to Him first? No judgment, no shame. We've all done it. But I'm saying today, His mercies are new this morning. So with new mercies this morning, that very thing that you walked in here where your soul is gasping for air, have you gone to Him and go, feed me, feel me, hold me, just tell me who I am again? I have got to have something higher up than what I've been living in. And I just believe that that is Jesus' heart. And then I want to say this to you. I'm not trying to get us to be like like men, because that's not our strength. And there's some badass women in this room, and I honor you, but our superpower is laying down in devotion in front of everybody and go, I don't care who sees me, because I love him so much and he's wrecked my life. I'm not going anywhere else. That's what changes the world. That's what changes your world. I just have this really crazy thing. I think some of you this weekend, you need to get an empty chair and you need to give yourself permission to be the woman at Jesus' feet. I've never said that in my life, but some of you have got to just surrender to his goodness. You know, I think it was Michelle Hyman. Where is she? Word for the year, surrender equals freedom. That'll preach all day long. The thing that you must have, you don't have, you wished you had, surrender equals freedom. It doesn't mean that you're giving it up. It means you're giving it to him. Big difference. You're giving it to him. Psalm 81, particularly in the Passion Translation, is just the most delicious thing. Oh, also, last session, Psalm 8. If you want to know why you get a crown, it's Psalm 8. Go read that. Go read that in several translations. It's so delicious. It's beautiful. Let me read some of it to you. God, brilliant Lord, yours is a household name. Your nursing infants gurgle choruses about you. Toddlers shout the songs that drown out enemy talk and silence atheist babble. I look up at your macro skies, dark and enormous, like last night, and your handmade sky jewelry, moon and stars mounted in their settings. And then I look at my micro self and wonder, why do you bother with us? Why take a second look at our way? Yet we've so narrowly missed being God's, bright with Eden's dawn light. You put us in charge of your handcrafted world, repeated to us your Genesis charge, and you made us stewards of sheep and cattle, even the animals out in the wild, birds flying and fish swimming, whales singing in the ocean's deep. Brilliant God, your name echoes around the world. In NIV, it talks about you crowned us a little lower than the angels. And Psalm 81 talks about, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. He comes and he keeps talking to us about what does it mean to speak out? What does it mean for us to live in and speak out of these great revelations that he's given to women? So let me pull this together for you. You have inside of you spirit and truth. You don't have to feel it. It's there. If you belong to the Lord, you have spirit and truth. You're trying to figure out how to access it. You have a revelation of resurrection power. You have a revelation of God being living water, so much so that it will well up inside of you. You have examples given to you about what it means to be fully devoted to the Lord. That's your great, 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 great grandmother. That's in your bloodline. Of what it means to be a woman that's laid down at the feet of Jesus. And then John 8:32 and 36, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You know, this is one of those things that sometimes we almost get vaccinated, because I can quote that verse, but if I don't live that reality, what good is the verse? Spirit and truth, but also truth and spirit. There's a spirit of prophecy that comes along behind Scripture that makes it come to pass. Okay, one more thing I want to give you. The Lord kept giving me this crazy remembrance of, it was just an expression, woman, thou art loosed. Woman, thou art loosed. Woman, thou art loosed. And it was a T.D. Jakes, I could just hear him in my head, that's all I heard. Woman, thou art loosed. And I just go, I don't know that. I haven't really studied that story. I don't know what that is. And the Lord just would not let me go. Woman, thou art loosed. So finally I went and stopped and looked at it because I knew he wanted me to talk about it. And it's from Luke 13:10, about a woman who had suffered an affliction for 18 years. And she was so afflicted that she was bent over. Like, you know, bent over. And Jesus came to her and said, woman, thou art loosed. Your affliction is gone. She stood right up and started praising the Lord. And the Lord just said to me that there are women here who've been suffering afflictions for more than 18 years. that are bent over, that are so deformed by their sorrow and their sadness and the abuse and the affliction, that the Lord wants to set you free from that today. And He wants you to be able to stand upright and start praising the Lord again. And I don't know if that's you, but I believe that there are some here that you have been just crushed for years on end. And we hardly can even recognize you. And the Lord is saying, today is the day of your freedom. Today is the day of your salvation. So if that's you, I don't mean salvation like saved. I mean the day of your unveiling, like your you-ness. We need you to be seen for who you are. There it is. How many of you are ready to have you be seen again today? Not who your husband said, not who your mama or your daddy said, not what the circumstances have said, but who the God Most High says. It's the day of reckoning for you. And so I just feel like if that's you, you need to grab somebody to pray for you. I'll pray for you, but I don't think it's going to come out by yourself. You're going to need somebody to help you pray to get yourself righted back up. Here's the thing, though. I just feel like this has got so much weight on it. You got to stand up straight to wear a crown.
Yes.
Selah. So you got to pay attention to how you, right? You got to pay attention to how you allow yourself to get pulled around. I got a crown, and I'm not afraid to use it. And there's no arrogance in that. It's just confidence in the one I'm with. Amen? In the one you're with. I just want to whet your appetite for that. Okay, what I think I'd like to do now, if you're willing, is in your little book or in your own journal, whatever you brought, I'd like to give you some time to journal with the Lord. And I'm going to give you, here's what I'm going to do. If you're not, is it freezing outside? Has anybody been outside? Y'all got coats or whatever? Okay. I think I want you to go take a walk, and I'm really going to ask you, please, just get away from your sisters for a minute and just go sit with the Lord. If you are brand new to this, I remember this. They're going, these Christian ladies are crazy. We are. But if you will just go sit in the Lord and go, okay, I'm here. I'm listening. Do you have something you want to say to me? And then just pay attention to what comes up. If it sounds shitty, nasty, and mean, it's not the Lord. If it sounds out of nowhere, I never thought that about myself, or beautiful, or it brings you hope, it's from the Lord. And start just going there. If you have not talked to the Lord in a while, don't waste one moment talking about, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Don't waste, He doesn't care.
Yes.
It's under the blood.
Yeah.
It's under the blood. He's just so glad to see you. Just come back and go, where do we want to begin today? And if you're already so deep in the Lord, then just go get a big, long drink. Just get a kiss. Okay? But go have time with your God. And here's what I want you to ask Him. What specific weapon have you given to me? Oh, I'm supposed to tell you this. Nope, I'll say that for next time. It's later in the day. What specific gift, weapon have you given to me? You know, we use that kind of language, weapon, and it brings odd connotations. But we need weapons against the demonic. Our weapons are never, ever against flesh and blood. But we have divine weapons that fight against the enemy of God that's trying to take us out. So your divine weapons are hell for the enemy, but they look like life to other human beings. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like a taste of heaven that's being released. Okay, I want to pray for you. And then I want you to go have a walk. Where's Lindsay? What time do they need to be back, Lindsay?